Good morning and welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church in Zeno, Ohio for our online worship for June 28th, 2020. This is going to be our last week of fully online worship as next Sunday, July 5th, we will be back in the building for worship. We're going to be in the community center with two services in the community center, one at 9 a.m. and one at 11 a.m. You're invited to come to whichever time is best for you. The services will be the same, and it will be so great to be back together for worship. We will be, we're having the two services so that we can kind of sort out the congregation and reduce the numbers of people coming at one time. We'll have the chairs socially distanced so that you'll be separated from others, but still be able to be together in one room for worship next Sunday morning, so I hope you will join us for that. If you're not able to return yet or not ready to return yet into the building, we will be continuing to post services online so you can continue to worship online as long as you feel the need to do that, but know that you are welcome back anytime, and we look forward to being together for worship. We're going to begin worship this morning with our call to worship. Join me responsively. Sing praises to God, O you saints of God. Give thanks to God's holy name. Praise God for the joyous gift of a new day. Thank God for healing and ever-present help. Extol the one who lifts us up from defeat. Praise the one who upholds us when we are discouraged. God sees and hears our weeping. God lifts our souls from the pit of despair. Give thanks to God who turns mourning into dancing. Praise God who hears our cries and answers our prayers. Join me in praying our invocation. God of love, who raised Christ from the dead to reign in power, we honor and bless you, even as we seek wisdom to follow where Christ leads. May your favor rest upon us, your joy fill our lives, your love motivate all we do. Make us instruments of good news who carry your name to others and share your blessing with delight. Amen. Our scripture reading for today comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Prior to Father's Day, we spent 8 weeks learning from the signs in the Gospel of John. The first 7 signs following the 7 days of creation formed a pattern with one another, showing that Jesus Christ is the culmination of God's good creation. The old creation was brought to completion and perfection in the seventh sign, the sacrifice of the Son of God upon the cross. The eighth sign in John, taking place on the first day of a new week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, shows that the resurrection of Christ is the dawn of a new creation. With that, John's gospel would seem to be complete. John even indicates as much at the end of chapter 20, after having told of the risen Jesus appearing to Mary on that first Easter morning, appearing to the gathered disciples later that evening, and appearing again the next week while Thomas was present. Here is how John ends that chapter. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That sounds like a fitting ending to the gospel. You could easily expect John to write Amen or the end. But no, wait, there's more. Chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Here is a bonus chapter, and with it, a bonus sign. John 21, we find the disciples gathered together by the Sea of Tiberias. This is following all the other resurrection appearances. How long after, we don't really know. Following the events of Easter Sunday, the Gospels all differ on what happened next. They tell independent stories without any reference to one another, so trying to put them all together in chronological order can be challenging. This story from John 21 is a story that only John tells, and it's a story that doesn't necessarily portray the disciples in the best light possible. You have to wonder why they were there doing what they were doing. In several of the resurrection stories, Jesus gives the disciples instructions, telling them where to go and what to do. In one, he tells them to wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. In another, he sends them out to spread the gospel to the far ends of the earth. In none of them does he tell them to go back to Galilee and go fishing. So what are they doing? Why are they there? The most logical conclusion is that they went back there because it felt like home. It's where they were from. It's what they were familiar with. It seems as though the disciples went back home to go fishing for no other reason than that's they wanted things to get back to normal for a while. After 3 long years and all that they had just been through with Jesus, you almost get the sense at the start of John 21 that they've gone right back to the way things were before Jesus came along. The way things were before Jesus invited them, come and see. The way things were before Jesus called them to be fishers of men. Jesus did not call the disciples to move back home and go back to the way life had always been. Jesus called them into a new life, a new way. The Gospel of John makes it clear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the start of a new creation. It's a new birth for all who believe, a new beginning of a new way of life. And now, here are some disciples, some weeks later, maybe even just some days later, gone back to the old, gone back to the familiar, gone back to life on their own terms. That's exactly what the opening of this story demonstrates, life on their own terms. Simon Peter said to the group, "I'm going fishing." And some of the others replied, "We'll go with you." There wasn't any great intentionality about it, no sense of purpose behind it. It was more like when you're sitting around with a group of friends with nothing much going on and one person says, "What do you want to do?" And someone else says, "I don't know, what do you want to do?" Peter, never one to sit around being indecisive, came up with something to do. "I'm going fishing." "Sounds good, we'll go with you." It's almost like they were directionless at that point, like they had lost their sense of purpose, like without Jesus there telling them exactly where to go and exactly what to do, as he had for the past 3 years, they just didn't know anymore. So they went back to what they knew, fishing. It's what they had done most of their adult lives. Fishermen is what they were. Going fishing is what they did. Funny thing is, they apparently weren't very good at it in the first place. This story from John 21 bears a striking resemblance to another fishing story from the Gospel of Luke. But in the Gospel of Luke, that story takes place near the beginning of the Gospel. The disciples had just met Jesus. They didn't really know who he was yet. He told them to put down their nets into deep water, and Peter answered that they had been at it all night and had caught nothing. But since Jesus told them to put their nets out again, they put their nets out again, and this time the nets caught so many fish that the nets were going to break. And it took two boats to pull in the whole catch. John doesn't tell that story from when the disciples first met Jesus. Instead, he tells this story at the end of his gospel, when basically the same thing happened all over again. But this time, it happened after they had already spent 3 years with Jesus, after he had already taught them how to be fishers of people rather than fishers of fish, after they had seen him crucified and raised to new life, after they had witnessed the risen Christ with their own eyes and heard his words of commission. All of that time together, all of that history together, all of those teachings and experiences that they had shared with Jesus, and yet there was this moment. There was a moment when they all acted as if none of it had ever happened. There was a moment when they tried to go back to their old way of life before ever knowing Jesus. There was a moment when getting back to normal was more important to them than living into the new creation. And they caught nothing. Of course they caught nothing. They were trying to live to themselves rather than living to Jesus. They were going back to doing things their own way rather than following Christ into a new way. Of course they caught nothing. But Jesus showed up. Jesus was there, standing by the shore. The disciples didn't recognize him. Of course they weren't expecting him. Were they even thinking about him anymore? They certainly weren't thinking about what he had commanded of them, what he had told them their lives were to be about at this point. But Jesus was there nonetheless. Isn't he always? "Children," he said to them, "you have no fish, have you?" Children, that's what he called them. And that's what they were in that moment, children. Oh, they were full-grown adults, adults who had learned the ways of the world before Jesus ever showed up, adults who had followed Jesus for 3 years and learned the ways of God, the ways of the kingdom, adults who Jesus had referred to earlier as brothers and friends. But here now, they are children. They're children because they have forgotten, at least for the moment, what they were supposed to be about. They had gone back to doing things their own way, living as seemed most fitting to them, concerned only for what they wanted to do and not with what Jesus had instructed them to do, what Jesus had commanded them to do. They were like lost and wandering children, gone back home, and yet so far from where they belong. "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some," said Jesus. And so they did, and so they did. So many fish that they thought the net was going to break. I wonder at what point they said to themselves, "Oh yeah, we've been here before." I wonder what, at what point it dawned on them, oh yeah, I remember how this story goes. I wonder at what point it clicked with them, oh, that's right. We were supposed to be following Jesus. I wonder, once they knew it was Jesus, once they recognized that the risen Christ was there with them, whether they remembered those words he had spoken to them that first time by the sea. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I wonder if they thought to themselves, oh, yeah, that's right, we had a job to do, didn't we? We've been sitting around here wondering what to do next, and he already told us what we're supposed to be doing. Cast the lifeline of the Holy Spirit and catch people for God's kingdom. When the disciples did, as Jesus told them, they hauled in a miraculously large catch of fish. Strangely enough, John tells us exactly how many fish they caught that day, 153. That seems like an odd thing to mention, doesn't it? Did the disciples really take the time to sit there counting the fish one by one as they flopped all around them, so that decades later John could report the seemingly insignificant detail of exactly how many fish they caught? Or did God perhaps reveal this detail for a reason? If you've been following this series, you already know that there are no insignificant details in John. If God revealed the number of fish hauled in, then he revealed it for a reason. The most likely reason seems to be the explanation given by St. Jerome all the way back in the 2nd century. St. Jerome noted that in Greek zoology at that time, there were listings of exactly 153 different kinds of fish. There were 153 different known species of fish at the time that the Gospel of John was written, and the disciples hauled in exactly 153 fish. I don't think that's a coincidence. It seems more likely to me that the catch of 153 fish is meant to represent the idea that they hauled in as many as there were different kinds. The fish that they hauled into the boat that day symbolized the people that Jesus was calling them to haul into the church, that they would haul into the church people of every different tribe and race and language and nation. As many different kinds of people as there are in the world. That's who the disciples were called to go out and catch. And they would. Christ would attest to that. God would make sure of that. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't the disciples working by their own knowledge or their own power that brought in that miraculous catch. When they did it on their own, they caught nothing. It was the work of God through Christ. When the disciples followed his command and carried out his commission, that would bring in the miraculous catch. And hauling them in is the exact expression for it. Two times this passage uses the Greek word helko, translated as to haul. First, the catch was so large that the disciples were not able to haul in the net. And then at Jesus' command, Simon Peter hauled the net ashore. Two other times, that same Greek word appears in the Gospel of John. Those two other times, it's usually translated as to draw. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless drawn by my Father who sent me." Chapter 6, verse 44. And later Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Chapter 12, verse 32. It's the same exact word, helko. Just as the disciples draw in the net full of fish, Jesus will draw all people unto himself. And he will do so through the disciples when they follow his lead and obey his command. But never forget, It is Jesus who supplies the miraculous catch. The disciples didn't produce that large catch of fish. The disciples didn't produce any catch on their own. Jesus is the one who produced the large catch of fish. The disciples simply hauled in the nets. Jesus is the one who draws all people unto himself. We simply follow his lead and do our part to welcome them into the fold. The signs in John's gospel all point beyond themselves. They are all signs of life, signs of the abundant eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's Word made flesh. The first sign, turning water into wine, symbolized the waters of baptism and the wine of communion. The high quality, overflowing abundance of wine symbolized the blood that Jesus would shed, the perfect sacrifice made available to all. The second sign, the healing of the royal official's son, symbolized the life-giving nature of God's word, which is found in the person of Jesus. The word of Jesus restored life to the boy just as the word of God brought life into the world. The third sign, the healing at the pool of Bethesda, symbolized the healing nature of the new creation that Jesus was bringing about. The fourth sign, the feeding of 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, symbolized that Jesus is the sustenance of life, the source of life. The body of Jesus, broken and given for us, is the bread of life. The fifth sign, giving sight to the man born blind, symbolized the spiritual blindness of those who are blind to the new creation that God brings forth through Jesus Christ. Christ alone is the one who can open our eyes and allow us to see God's new creation. The sixth sign, the raising of Lazarus, symbolized and foreshadowed the resurrection. Jesus is the one who has power over life and death. Jesus is the one who has defeated death. Jesus is the one who restores life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The seventh sign, the crucifixion itself, the fulfillment of God's plan all along, the seventh day of creation, the time of Sabbath rest. The wine of the first sign and the bread of the fourth sign come together in the body and blood of Jesus, given for our salvation. The eighth sign, the resurrection, the eighth day of creation, the first day of a new week, the first day of new creation. Jesus is raised from the grave, and with him our hopes and our dreams are restored. Satan is conquered, death is defeated, life in all its fullness is opened up, and we are invited into God's new world, a new creation of abundant life, a world of eternal life. And now, this last sign, the miraculous catch of fish, symbolizes what comes next. The life of discipleship that we are called into once we become part of God's new creation. It may be a bonus sign, but it is not incidental to the gospel. It is essential to our understanding of what God expects of us. We all face those times when we just want everything to get back to normal, to go back to the way things were, to recapture the familiar, to feel like we're in control once again. Our whole world seems to be in one of those times right now. How often do we find ourselves saying, we just want things to get back to normal? But let this be a time to remind us that God didn't call us into an old way of life. God didn't save us for conformity to familiar patterns and old habits. God has ushered in a new creation in Christ. As members of that new creation, he has given us a job to do. just like those first disciples, we are to be fishers of people. What are we doing sitting around waiting for our old life to resume? He has given us new life. He has given us a new command and a great commission. Not what seems good to me, not whatever I feel like, not what makes me comfortable. No, he is calling you to something. He is leading you into new life. If Christ has gotten a hold of you, he has gotten a hold of you for a purpose. He has a mission for you. There is meaning to your life. And that meaning is defined by the one who gave you life in the first place. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him is life. And the life was the light of all people. Let him be your life. Let him be your light. Don't try to go back to the before days. Don't try to go back to worldly ways. Embrace the new life that Christ has given you as a gift. Live into the new creation with purpose, with intention, with meaning, with faith. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Go with him all the way, and he will indeed go with you. May God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you now and stay with you forevermore. Amen.